Welcome to the MSP Law Podcast, where we share legal tips and strategies that help managed service providers and technology firms build a better defense. I'm your host, Tom Favinsky. Do you have a really important employee that works with you that you really need to stay engaged with your company in order to make your life work? That employee is probably a little concerned about working for somebody other than you, like what happens if you get in a car accident, or you become disabled, or you pass away. Does that employee really want to work for your spouse? The discussion about business continuity normally starts with buy-sell agreements when you're dealing with partners, but it can also start when you're dealing with that key employee. A buy-sell agreement can be structured for future owners, including these key employees, so that when they become owners, they are governed by the same terms and conditions that the existing owners might have between themselves. You can even have a buy-sell agreement in place that deals with this key employee when you already have partners. That key employee might not want to work for one of your partners, is very comfortable working with you. But if you're not there, they would want to be an owner rather than an employee. So before we get there, let's talk about what buy-sell agreements do generally. They create predictability for the business. They create continuity for the business operations in the event one or more of the owners is incapacitated, passes away, dies. These events can have a cataclysmic effect on the operations of the business. So anticipating these events and dealing with how the business will continue if one of these events occur is really the subject matter of the buy-sell agreement. Typical triggering events in a buy-sell arrangement include death, disability, marital termination, financial impairment, retirement, or some other termination of an owner, not for cause, for instance, like they're terminated just because they're not contributing to the business in the same way they did before, and they're terminated by the other owners. The buy-sell agreement comes in and says, upon these triggering events, including a triggering event if somebody else is trying to buy into the company by buying that owner's interest, generally giving rise to a first right of refusal or a first right of offer, these are the events that we're trying to create the continuity and smoothness in business operations with the buy-sell agreement. When these triggering events occur, existing owners have rights. Sometimes they have obligations as well. So it could be that upon the death of one of the owners, the other owner has an obligation to purchase the departing owner's ownership interest. It might be just an option, though. So, for instance, the existing owners can say, I can buy it, but I'm not required to buy it in the event of death. Ordinarily, we see in the death trigger that it's a put option or a requirement by the other owners that they have to purchase the interest of the departing owner. And then they go buy life insurance to cover that, maybe a term policy. But it provides predictability for the business, and it also provides liquidity to the estate of the departing owner. Now the departing owner's spouse doesn't have to worry about how are we going to get rid of this ownership interest in the company. While it's not common, it probably ought to be, but it isn't generally common to have a one-sided buy-sell agreement where a key employee has the right to purchase upon one of these triggering events an owner's interest. So instead of having just other owners, maybe there aren't any other owners, being able to buy in the event of death or disability or incapacity of some sort, this key employee now has the right to say, you know, I am going to buy this affected owner's interest and step into the shoes of ownership of this company because I don't want to work for the surviving spouse. When you're trying to engage that key employee and get them to stay with you, even if something traumatic happens to the business, use this one-sided buy-sell agreement. I'll run through an example. I had a client whose name was Tony, and Tony had a key employee in his organization, and I'm going to call him Dan. The names, of course, have been changed to protect the innocent. Tony wanted to make sure that Dan felt really, really comfortable, and he did lots of things like come up with a synthetic equity plan so that Dan was able to participate in the upside appreciation of the business over a baseline value that had already been created. One of the things that we did for Tony was we built this one-sided buy-sell agreement so that in the event that Tony died or became disabled, Dan would have the ability to purchase Tony's interest from his estate or from him in the event of disability so that Dan did not have to work for Tony's wife. You see, it's not that Dan disliked Tony's wife, it's just that he didn't trust her as a business person, didn't really know her as a business person, and was completely fine working with Tony so long as Tony was in charge. So taking Tony out of charge because he got hit by a bus or because he got disabled really frustrated Dan. And so by building this one-sided buy-sell agreement, we were able to overcome that concern. Now, does this mean that Tony can't sell the business anymore? No, that doesn't mean that at all. That just means that in the event that there's a triggering occurrence here, that Dan has the first right to take a look at this business. You can build the price in it however you want. You can build it by a formula. You can do a first right of refusal if you wanted. You could even make it where he's required to purchase the interest. But generally speaking, what happens is Dan will go out and buy a life insurance policy to insure Tony's life, so that in the event that Tony does pass away, then Dan has a source of funds to draw upon so as to pay the purchase price. If during his lifetime, Tony decides that he would actually like to sell the business, the one-sided buy-sell agreement can be built so that Tony doesn't have to first offer it to Dan, that Tony is totally free to sell the business even apart from Dan's knowledge, if that's how he wants to structure it. Now, oftentimes when you have this key employee, you're going to want to have them involved in the sale transaction or in a the discussions for the sale transaction. You can use other things like synthetic equity or real equity for that matter to bring Dan on board for that eventual happening. But this one-sided buy-sell agreement is just a great way to say to your key employee, hey, listen, if I'm gone, I want you to know that you have a place to work and you have a place that could be yours. All you got to do is go buy a life insurance policy on my life, and it'll pay in the event of my passing. Now, it is an insurable interest because of the buy-sell agreement. Life insurance company will issue a policy, and the policy can be a term policy. You can say, hey, I'm going to do a 10-year policy for $2 million. Now, you would have to check with life insurance agents to find out what the rate would be for the owner in that scenario, but you might find that it is surprisingly inexpensive to do so. To conclude, there's nothing in this world that stops Tony from saying, hey, Dan, instead of giving you your full bonus, we are going to spend a portion of this on the life insurance to make sure that Dan has the wherewithal to do this in the event of Tony's passing. And it gives Tony some assurance, too, that his estate, his wife, his family will be provided for in the event of his passing, at least provided for in terms of having a buyer in place. So now Tony's spouse is not looking at Tony's passing, not just as a personal tragedy, but, oh my gosh, what am I do to run this business? I don't know how to run this business. I've never run this business before. Now Tony has taken into account that his passing creates this issue and has solved the problem so that his spouse doesn't have two tragedies to be concerned about. Well, that's it for this episode. This is Tom Popinski. I'm an attorney with Virtus Law. My team is called the MSP Law Team. We serve MSPs, and we'd like to chat with you. Feel free to reach out to us by email. My contact information is Tom, T-O-M, at Virtus Law, D like Victor, I-R-T like Tom, U-S, like United States, L-A-W.com.